Sunday School Hour, and invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 18, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Thank you. Maybe see unless you celebrate her birthday or anniversary.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and to have each one of you here with us. A few things from the bulletin. We have a special speaker today. I'll introduce him in a few minutes. Man Camp is this week, Friday, Saturday. We'll be going to Mount Vernon. We'll have a short meeting following the afternoon service for those going. And so if you're planning to go, if you can make that meeting, be a real blessing. We have a ladies' dinner planned on March 24th. At 6:30, they're going to Jose Pepper's. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer, so ladies, you sign up. That'll help them plan on how many they need to prepare for. Ladies' retreat coming up April 21st through 22nd at Riverside in St. Joe. Cost is $35. There is a sign-up sheet. Registration deadline is April 2nd. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper. All church members are encouraged to come April 4th, 7 o'clock. And because of the Lord's Supper on Tuesday, we'll not be having Wednesday night service that week. Resurrection service will be on April 8th. And as we have done for several years now, we'll not have Sunday school that morning. We'll have a breakfast And then at 10:30, we'll have a presentation of The Choice. And by the way, The Choice, it's a musical cantata, will also be presented the Saturday night before at 6 o'clock. And it'll be followed by a cookie fellowship. It'll be presented on Sunday at the 10:30 hour. And then we'll not have an afternoon service that week. Then on the 23rd, we're going to have Brother Greg Wagner with us all day singing and preaching. And looking forward to having Brother Greg and his wife. Always a real blessing to have them. And so looking forward to that. I did share with the church on Wednesday night, because we have so many in different parts of the building, I wanted to reread this letter. It says, "Dear friends and supporters, it's with heavy heart that we write to inform you of the passing of our beloved missionary, Reverend Quadro Asamoah, who passed away unexpectedly on March 7th in Accra, Ghana, after a brief illness. We know that he touched the lives of so many of you and wanted to make sure that you were aware of this tragic news. As a family, we're deeply saddened by Quadro's sudden departure from this world, but we take comfort in the fact that he lived a life of service and dedication to spreading the love of Christ to people around the world. He was always willing to go the extra mile and to help those in need, and his tireless efforts made a significant impact on the communities that he served. We want to express our gratitude to all of you who supported Quadro throughout his ministry. Your prayers, encouragement, financial contributions made it possible for him to do the work that he loves so much. We know that Quadro cherished each and every one of you and considered you to be a part of his extended family." And so it's kind of a real heartbreak, a sudden loss of a missionary like that. We had supported him for probably 20 years, maybe a little longer than that. He was a Guianan. He was born there in Guiana, Africa. And give 6 months support to his wife. So we're going to give 6 months support to them. And then we'll be taking a different missionary on to kind of replace the work that he was doing. So please be praying for Mrs. Asamoah. They have two daughters, one of them studying in the States right now. And so just pray for that family. All right, going to have Brother Foster come back and lead us in another song. And then we'll get to our Sunday school time. Lord bless you for being here, Brother Foster.
I'm going to sing hymn number 97, "I Need Thee Every Hour." We'll sing the first and the last verses.
It's our honor to have Augustus Lukey and his wife with us and precious little son. He is a missionary builder, and I think that ministry is a lot, involves your wife a lot, I'm assuming. I imagine it does. All ministry seems to involve the wife a lot, and so we do appreciate them. They're out of Brother Quigley's church in Lindsborough, Kansas. I was sharing with the church on Wednesday night that Brother Quigley's one of ours, so he's one of our kids, and so Brother Augustus and his wife, they're like grandchildren, okay? So we're honored to have them with us. I'm going to have him come and introduce his family in a little more detail, and then we'll show a video, and then they're going to come and give their testimonies afterwards about their call in the ministry, and we'll have questions, answers, stuff like that. Brother Augustus.
Okay. My name's Augustus Ludke. We practiced that, Ludke.
Yeah.
It's okay. And then my wife, Alexandra, but you can call us Gus and Allie. And our son, Aiden, he's back in the nursery at this time, but he's 11 months old, and he is the star of the show. on more than one occasion, I've been told, if it wasn't for your wife and kid, you had no chance of support. So thankful for them. Way beyond support and everything they do. There's no way I'd be able to even be in the ministry or to do any things if it wasn't for my wife and our kids. So I think we're gonna play the video.
Hello, my name is Paul Scherer, and I'm the pastor of Bible Baptist Church of Hillsboro, Texas. I'm also the founder of the Independent Baptist Builders. We founded this ministry in 2009 with the purpose of assisting and helping pastors and churches going through building programs, remodeling facilities, or sometimes just updating their buildings. We have full-time families that travel the United States, helping churches in this manner, trying to take the load off the pastor and the leadership of the church so they can continue their everyday ministries and still see the building program go on.
The Independent Baptist Builders are a group of God-called, local, church-sent, and supported missionaries that travel the country and are called to help churches in their building project. They're also families that have proven themselves faithful in their local church ministries, as well as men who are knowledgeable in general construction to be able to lend that skill to churches.
Independent Baptist Builders is able to save churches money by providing the free labor at no cost to the church. Many of the men that are involved in our group have owned their own businesses before and capable of doing a variety of different things involved in construction, from framing to sheetrock to laying floor, a lot of different aspects as far as remodeling and new construction. Our men basically are able to handle any task that would be given to us. Not only are we able to do those things for churches and save typically 40 to 60% of the cost of the total building, our desire also is to be a blessing to churches that may not have access to labor in some places or not have the capability of having members that are able to do the work physically or jump in themselves. So Independent Baptist Builders would come along and do the work at no cost to be able to be a benefit to the church.
Our goal is to save churches money that can then be focused more on missions and other outreach programs, as well as limiting the need for a church to go into debt to achieve their building project goals, and to limit the time needed to be saving money for that project, because the need for finances would be much lower if we're able to help a church in that process.
Our desire as Independent Baptist Builders is not only help with the building process, but to be a blessing in the ministry aspect of the church as well. Teach, preach, our families could do special music, any opportunity to outreach and be a blessing in the community. We want to be involved with that as well. Not only do we help the pastor on the project, but we help him make decisions that would benefit the church as far as saving money and doing the best job possible in the building. Also, Independent Baptist Builders would be a good testimony on the job site, working along other subs that may not have an opportunity to hear the gospel or may not be in church for any other reason but to do the building project. Our men could come alongside, work with those men, and also be able to have an opportunity to witness to them as well through this process.
Our group helps churches that are fundamental, independent, and King James Bible preaching churches and church planters, as well as helping ministries that would be out of a church of that faith, such as camps, boys' homes, girls' homes, and anything that would further the gospel out of a church of that faith.
take a moment just to talk to you about the benefits of the Independent Baptist Builders and the wonderful ministry that they have bestowed upon our church. In a very unique time for us as a church, not only did they save us literally a couple hundred thousand dollars on our building project, we projected $250,000 to $300,000 to remodel our auditorium, and we were going to be able to do it for less than $90,000 when all is said and done. And that is thanks in large part to Independent Baptist Builders and the labor that they're saving us. In addition to that, beyond that, I had COVID for 3 or 4 weeks and was down in the hospital a couple times. And these guys preached, filled the pulpit, did a wonderful job bringing God's word to our people. They ministered to us, not just in the building, but also in their witness, handing out tracts while they were here, and then preaching and delivering God's word to his people. And our people have fallen in love with them. We have as well. They've just been such a blessing, generous with everything they've done, everything they've had, their attitude, their time. And I cannot recommend them highly enough as a missions project. Missions is about helping churches, building churches, and these guys have a special part in that. Our church has taken them on. We already did before we had them come, and we'll continue to support them going forward. I hope you will too.
We really enjoyed having the Independent Baptist Builders here with us at Central Baptist Church, and you know, we had a vision of what we wanted to see the Lord do here in our buildings, but the benefits I thought were, hey, we're going to have a nice building and stuff, but the biggest benefit that I've noticed from our church is just the people. It was kind of, they knew the work needed to be done, they knew we needed some renovations, but the way that it's really energized the church is something that's, I thought it might do that, but I didn't know the scope and to the magnitude that it did. But as the work started going, the people were excited, they were giving, they wanted to be involved, they were coming up and helping, and I'm thankful that we can do this, and it kind of gives us a springboard as we continue to move forward for the Lord. When you kind of think of it, it's a unique ministry. You know, we usually have church planters and foreign missionaries, but the job that the Independent Baptist Builders do is so vital to churches, especially like ours, and I know many churches around the country that need renovations, that need updates, but maybe not can't necessarily do it. And then when somebody comes in, it just breathes the life into a church. And it's not just a building they're building, because there's going to be fruit that comes from this. I think that's a big thing, is we look at it, oh, they're just builders. Well, they're building a church, and the church is building lives and helping families and reaching children. I would tell all pastors to view it like missionaries. And I love that they say that they're missionary builders, because that's what they are. They're not just builders. This is what God has called them to do. It's a very unique ministry, and I'm thankful they have the ability to do it the right way. But get behind something like this, because I know what it's going to do for our church and our community. And I, as Paul said, there's going to be fruit that abounds to their account. And I would encourage every pastor to really consider getting behind Independent Baptist Builders.
We'd ask you to prayerfully consider supporting the Independent Baptist Builders. You can do so by supporting individual team members, or you can support the entire Independent Baptist family by sending funds through Bible Baptist Church here in Hillsboro. Every dollar that comes in for the Independent Baptist Builders, we send out every month to them to help their support. They're a huge blessing, and I pray they'll be a blessing to you.
Yourself. So why are we concerned about builders? Well, back in 2006 in January, we pulled on top of the hill here, and there was a concrete foundation. We had the walls. We met a group called Trust Slater out of Indiana that was a Christian guy. He owned a truss company. We hired him to build all the trusses. And he also then did all the walls except for these 14-foot walls here in the auditorium. And so they brought them in on semis and just rolled them off on the ground. And when we came in here in January 2006, it was like a big erector set. And we started, the walls were numbered, and we started standing up the walls and went around, stood up all the exterior walls, and then we put up all the interior walls, and they built the exterior walls. And then we put the trusses in place. We were putting sheeting on. And we were fortunate. We had at that time a guy named Ken Foster, who was a builder, and he came and helped us for about 6 to 8 weeks right here with us. Then we had Brother Glazeman come. He's still in the ministry. Brother Ken's no longer in the building ministry, but Brother Glazeman still is. And he spent a number of weeks with us. We were blessed, though, because we had a good nucleus of guys. I think for Christmas that year, everybody got like Carhartt stuff because they showed up. It was all like brand new. By the time we were through building, it looked like everybody had rolled around in the mud in it because just work, you know, that's what they got it for, was work. And so we were blessed. But there are a lot of churches out there that need the help of a group like this. And we think about the hundreds of thousands of dollars that can be saved every year from all the different church plants. It's more money that can go out to missions. And it's money that they can help churches that couldn't afford to go into a lot of debt because they're smaller in size. They can keep their building payment down to be more affordable. So we still support one builder that's stayed with us the whole time, Brother Glazeman. And we've got a couple other builders that we support, but that's the reason we're behind them, because we want to help the small baby churches. We need more churches in America. One thing that really bothered me as we were watching the video, the BBF video for Missions Month, was the fact that they're sending missionaries back to America. And part of that's because we're just not planting churches the way that we should be. And when they get to where they're kind of being planted, then it takes money to build. And so all these things are great detriment. So I'm thankful to have Augustus and his wife with us, and thankful that they have surrendered to that call, and thankful to have them here today. I asked if they would to give their testimonies about salvation and their call into the ministry. I think that'd be good for us to hear. So if you bring your wife and...
You want to go first? No? Hers is short and sweet, so I'll talk. I grew, and I want to apologize. We've been in Texas almost all winter long, and so coming up here in this cold weather, I'm a little under the weather, and so I'm really trying not to clear my throat or cough into the mic. Just please bear with me. I'm sorry if that's a pet peeve of yours, but I'm trying. But so I grew up in and out of church. My family was... My mom at least had us in a Baptist church when we did go to church, but there wasn't any real consistency to that. I remember being convicted as a child and even making a profession of faith as a child, and I've been and was baptized as a child. And I even remember witnessing to people and telling people about the Lord. But as soon as I got the opportunity around high school, and I went the way of the world, and the most important thing to me was how much money I could make. I grew up working cows and cowboying and working other people's cows, and all I ever wanted was my own cows and work my own cows. So in order to do that, I didn't have anyone giving me an inheritance or giving me a bunch of land. So in order to do that, I just, in my head, I had to make as much money as possible so I could afford to go cowboy and keep the lights on. And so that took me to pipelining, and I pipelined for several years, and I was living in a travel trailer at that time, traveling all over the country, and that's when I met my now wife, Allie. And she was going to school there in Lindsborg, Kansas, Bethany, and with any carnal relationship, we obviously had a lot of issues. We didn't want to break up, so we figured, hey, we needed something. Let's go to church. Allie had a background in Methodist, and I had a background in Baptist, and I didn't want to get preached at by any lady, so we went to a Baptist church. So we went to the Baptist church, and at the time, it felt like we just pulled a random church out of the hat, but we saw that God's hand and providence was in it. We went to Smoky Valley Baptist Church, a log cabin there in Lindsborg, Kansas. Jeff Quigley's our pastor, and that is today our sending church. Before I forget, Miss Angela and Pastor Jeff say hi to everyone that remembers them and say they love you and they miss you. So we went to this church, and the people loved on us immediately, like any good church, and so we felt very welcomed, even if we were under an immense amount of conviction from the preaching of the pulpit, but we felt very welcomed, and we kept going back. Shortly after that, I left and went to Oregon, and then later Wyoming, and Allie obviously stayed there in Lindsborg going to school, and I met the first real Christian I ever met on the pipeline, And I was a Christian by name only. I professed to be a Christian, but I didn't really know what that meant. And I remember he asked me if I was a Christian, and I said yes. And he goes, "Great, we're going to church Wednesday." And I was, "What? What do you mean church on Wednesday? What kind of crazy person goes to church on a Wednesday?" And but I already told him I was a Christian, so I was stuck. I had to go. And he took me to an independent Baptist church in Evanston, Wyoming, and I really liked it. I was like, "This is the kind of church we need to be in, and preaching we need to be under." And I told Allie, I said, "We're not going back to Smoky Valley Baptist Church unless it's independent Baptist," and it was. So we kept going, and I remember being under conviction and telling my pastor that you know, I was like, I think I'm called to preach. At the time, I thought I was already saved, so I told my pastor, I think I'm called to preach. I mean, I'm under conviction. That could be the only thing that means, right, is that, you know, God wants me to preach. And I remember looking back now, he's like, "Yeah, sure, bud. I'm sure you're called to preach." And so he told me to lay out a sheepskin, or like Gideon, to lay out a sheep's wool and to pray about something specifically. And God will give you that answer, and you'll know. And my sheepskin, my question to God to know if I was called to preach was that I'd be able to witness to somebody and see them get saved right in front of me, and just see the Holy Spirit move and work, and them call on the Lord to save them. And so there I was, a lost man, witnessing to people and trying to lead people to Christ, and not seeing anybody saved. I remember pulling over on the side of the road and helping people, and I changed somebody's alternator out on the freeway once, and trying to witness to them and lead them to the Lord, and just not seeing any fruit of it. I don't know if those people end up getting saved later or how the Lord used that. I know that he did, because he promised his word won't return void, but I did not get to see those people get saved. And so I was miserable. At this time, I was no longer pipelining. I was in Lindsberg. I was working for a water well drilling company, and they would let me weld and work on the rigs after hours. And so it was Friday night. It was raining. They didn't drill that day. I was working on one of the water well rigs. I built a giant toolbox, and I was there in the mud, and I was welding on it and raining and just getting shocked and lit up all over the place, just miserable. And just then the Lord smote my heart and showed me that, you know, I've never been saved. I've never called upon the Lord. So I knew what to say and what to do and where to go. And so right then, I call it my Hallmark moment, and right there in the mud, I stopped what I was doing, threw my welding rod into the mud, looked up into the rain, and called upon the Lord to save me, and he did. And so that was a Friday night, and I went home and told Allie that the Lord had saved me, and that it's real, and this is what's happened. I'm really saved now. And she began crying, and she said that she's never been saved. And so I got to lead her to the Lord right then and there. And so the Lord did call me to preach. I just had to check a couple boxes first. So I'll let her go now.
So I was not raised in a Christian home either. My mom was a young, single mom. We would go to a Methodist church occasionally. I would go to the youth group there just because that was the popular thing to do with my friends. But nothing really came out of that. Nothing really stuck. And then I also was very concerned about making as much money as possible. So I went to Bethany College. I was studying biology to go and be a doctor. And I was on a fast track to going to medical school. I met my husband, my now husband. I met him while I was going there, and like he said, we started having a lot of issues, like young couples that are living in sin would, and so we decided that we would try, give church a try, and I knew that the Methodist church wasn't really right. I wasn't for sure why at that point, but I knew something wasn't right there, so I was perfectly fine with trying out the Baptist church, and that was the most welcoming church folks that I had ever met in my life. I didn't know that church folks were like that. So, they just loved on us, even though we were a perfect picture of what the world is. They still took us under their wing and loved us and didn't make us feel any... the Holy Spirit was convicting us, but they didn't make us feel like that. So we kept coming back and... Then, like my husband said, he ended up getting saved, and I was under a lot of conviction at that time, too. I didn't want to admit that I had not been saved either. I had had a couple emotional experiences in a church setting, but it was never, I'd never called on the Lord to save me. And when he told me that he had gotten saved, that really, I realized I needed to put my pride aside and go ahead and do that and admit that I wasn't saved. And so he helped lead me to the Lord, and I called on the Lord to save me. And even after that, I still tried to pursue my career a little bit and fought against the Lord. But once I surrendered, the Lord gave me peace with that. I knew that being a doctor was not what he had for me. So I know that being a wife and being a mother is what he has for me, and I'm so thankful for his calling into this ministry, and I wouldn't want anything else. So I praise the Lord for that.
Blessing, amen. Testimony. Settled in your life. Anybody have any questions you'd like to ask Brother Augustus here about the ministry or anything?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you?
I can go right into that testimony. Okay, so I was called to preach. I was pretty sure at that time the Lord was not calling me to pastor. I did not have that burden. I didn't desire the office of a bishop. There was none of that. So at the time I was like, well, the only thing I can do and preach is be an evangelist. And so I wasn't good enough of a preacher just to evangelize. No. But that's a joke, I think. Well, I guess you guys will find out. But so I was seeking evangelism and going towards that, and we got the opportunity at that time. I remember being so jealous of missionaries that came in and that came into our church, and just envying over the fact that they were that they knew the will of God for their life, and I was just desiring that and praying and seeking God's will and His Word, and just consumed with that. I couldn't think about anything else. And just every going to the altar almost every service and praying for the will of God in my life. And so through that and being called to preach, I got opportunities. We went on a domestic missions trip to the Navajo Nation. We went to see the Nezes. You know them. We went to see the Nezes, and they have two church plants there. And we got to go and work on their building and go soul winning with them. And I got the opportunity to preach down there. And then Faith Baptist in Concordia, which was about an hour north of us in Lindsberg. They were a struggling church all throughout COVID. They only had two men. One was in his 60s, and the other one's in his 80s. And it was everything that they could do just to keep the lights on and the doors open. They went all throughout COVID without a pastor. Many other churches' doors closed during that time. And we got the opportunity to go up there and fill the pulpit quite often. And the Lord just started burning us for that. And we'd go up there during the week and work on the building and clean and fix things and just try to be as help as much as we can. And at the time, I remember going to my pastor and be like, there really needs to be some sort of ministry, a group of guys that go around and help these churches that are struggling. And he said, there is. We support two of them already. And I thought I'd come up with some brand new thing. I thought it was revolutionary. Anyways, but and so we showed that. And so we started just pursuing that. And I called and talked to several of those guys. And then through the Lord's leading, we found Independent Baptist Builders, and they were doing everything already that I wanted to do. At the time, the Lord had allowed me to have my own construction company, and I viewed that as the Lord training me for the work that He was going to have us to do and allowing me to provide for my family at the same time. And just the way the Lord worked in that, I mean, I never had a single job that I advertised for. I would go out and I'd try to pick up work, and I'd put in bids, and I paid for advertisement, put business cards everywhere. And not a single one of those ever got me a job. It was all through God's people and their word of mouth and just God letting me know the whole time that it was Him doing it. But I thought through the construction company, the Lord was going to let me go and build these houses and do these things. And it wasn't until I realized that the Lord doesn't need my money or need my resources. He just wanted me. And so when I surrendered to that, He just opened up doors. We met Independent Baptist Builders. And if you look at our sign over there on our table, building churches is the fourth thing on the last thing on the list is the fourth thing on the list. Our goal is soul winning, to encourage the brethren to go and to help build up God's people, and then we also build buildings. And the Bible says that no other foundation can any man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so You can have the nicest building in the world, but if Jesus isn't a part of it, and if it's not focused solely on him, then it's for naught. So. Yes, ma'am. We started full-time in January. We did everything that every other builder told us not to do, which is go out and start working before you gain support. But the way the Lord worked, there's work that needs to be done. The Lord's provided us a travel trailer for free. He just gave it to us. A church in Arkansas gave us it's actually a horse trailer, and I've converted it to our tool trailer, which is just fitting because the whole time I was cowboying and working horses, I always had to borrow trailers and do this. And then now, in the Lord's will, he gave me a horse trailer for nothing. So I just had to weld all the doors shut and everything. But it works, and we love it. And so the Lord's just, we're only at, I think, 15% of our needed monthly support. And the Lord's just provided and just allowed us to go out there and start. We've been doing that since January. I don't know if I've said that or not. It depends on the job. It depends on the need and what all we're doing. Right now, we're usually at a place about a month. In Hillsboro, we're there for 2 months, but we're doing several different jobs. Weatherford, Texas, we were there for 3 weeks. This next job that we're looking at, we're going to be there for a month and a half. It's whatever they need, the scope of the work, and however we can help. Anybody else? Oh, yes, ma'am.
How many jobs?
Myself, I'm only one man, so I can only do one job at a time. I know that's not what you're asking, but there's four of us. And so we, depending on what the job needs, sometimes there's more of one of us at a job, sometimes there's just one of us at a job. They've traveled all over the country. They've been to New York, California. There's several church plants that I'm excited to go help on in Idaho. They've been all over the country, Alaska even. And then we have the prospect, or in the works of trying to get our passport, and we might get to go and help a church plant in West Africa. But that's not our primary goal. Is foreign missions. We're really focused on the United States and everything that's going on here. But wherever the Lord allows us to go. The next job that we're going to is in Fate, Texas, and it's a 10,000 square foot building, and we're going to be framing out the entire thing. So there'll be a couple of us at that job at one time. Does that answer your question? What else?
So the group that he's joined, Brother Sharon has had this group going for a number of years, and they've actually, Brother Sharon started out as a heat and air guy, and so he's been to several churches here in Kansas. He's been up to Topeka for one that you could readily notice, and put in air conditioners and furnaces, saving lots of money. Because, you know, if you call someone to come to your house, they're wanting 20, 25 grand, and he can buy everything, all the products it costs, and save churches tons of money that way. So it's an exciting ministry for them to be a part of. I'm excited to come alongside them and be a help to them. Looking forward to the preaching that's going to take place here in a little bit. We're going to go ahead and take a break at this time, and then we'll be back at the 10:30 hour. You can get by and visit with them at the table. That'd be a real blessing. All right? God bless you.